It is 9 o'clock, so we'll get started. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the regular meeting of the Annuity and Pension Board, Employees Retirement System of the City of Milwaukee. Today is Tuesday, July 25th, 2023. It is 9 a.m. Can we have a roll call, please?
Yes, Ms. Ford?
Here.
Mr. Helling?
Here.
Ms. King?
Here.
Mr. Klusman?
Here.
Mr. Conrad?
Here.
Mr. Kovac?
Here.
Ms. Sawa?
Here.
Mr. Bell?
Here.
Quorum?
Thank you. We'll jump right into item number one, approval of the minutes. Letter A, the regular meeting held June 27, 2023. Any comments or questions from board members or staff? Not hearing any comments or questions. Do I have a motion to approve the regular meeting minutes for the June 27th meeting?
Motion.
I heard Mr. Klusman first, and then was that Ms. King?
It is.
Thank you. Any objections regarding the motion? Not hearing any, the motion to approve the regular meeting minutes held, the meeting held on June 27th passes. Moving on to item two, the Chief Investment Officer's reports. Throw it to either David or Eric.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Sauer has prepared a performance update to present to the board this morning.
Great, thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, everyone. The fund ended the month of June with a value of $5.65 billion. The fund return of 2.9% net of fees underperformed the blended benchmark by approximately 19 basis points. The real story this month is that we were, broadly the portfolio performed well, and it was really just overshadowed by the way, by the private equity benchmark and the way that came in this month. So. Private equity, manager selection was the main driver of returns, and private equity ended up detracting 74 basis points in that quarter. And again, not that our private equity performance was bad by any means. Just if you'll remember the way we benchmark it, we use the Russell 3000 plus an annual premium, and from the one quarter prior. So. The Russell 3000, you'll remember, started to bounce back in the first quarter of this year. So that meant the private equity benchmark was up 7.8% versus only 2.2% for our actual private equity reports that came in, our first quarter private equity reports. Now, 2.2%, given everything that's going on in the private equity industry, to have a slight positive return like that, as I said, not bad at all, just doesn't keep up with the benchmark over the one quarter. Continuing on, the fund's real estate program added 24 basis points within manager selection, and that was partially related to the timing of when the reports come in, but some of the managers did outperform the benchmark as well. The fund's DFA mandates added 13 basis points, and then Brandis added 8 basis points. Now you can see in the table to the right that the fund has underperformed the benchmark in the year-to-date and one-year time periods, while outperforming in the 5, 10, 15, and 20-year periods. Through yesterday, the fund was up 1.2% so far in July, which brought the year-to-date return to up 6.8%. and the fund value to $5.74 billion. Eight of the fund's 16 active mandates are outperforming year to date, and the fixed income asset class is outperforming its benchmark year to date. Year to date, we've seen a change in the value of investments of $380.2 million, have paid out benefits and expenses of $243.7 million, and have received contributions of $139.9 million. If there's any questions, I'd be happy to take them at this time. Otherwise, I'll turn it back over to David to discuss recent cash activity.
Thank you. Eric, any comments or questions from members or staff? All right, not hearing any, we will throw it David's way. Go ahead, David.
All right, thank you, Chairman and members of the board. Chair, if you don't, if it's easy for you to do to jump to the very last page of the board package as well, the 2023 estimated monthly cash flows. You can do that easily, that's fine. Otherwise, it's not a huge deal. But, yep, perfect. So, you know, just couple things to step back. I know that we're showing a lot of times when you underperform in the most recent time periods, it drags down all the numbers. We'll present in September our normal quarterly package with peer universes and more detailed performance and characteristics data at our September investment committee meeting. But the data I'm looking at right now still shows us as a top quartile fund in the 5 and 10 year time period and it's the top half, second quartile over 15 years. So there's a lot of noise, as Eric was kind of describing in the year-to-date numbers, and even when I look at the last 12 months with between kind of how the private markets have performed versus public markets. And then public markets, obviously last year everything went down in the public markets, the private markets didn't go down quite as fast, and now you see really starting towards the end of last year and continuing into this year, you see stocks rallying strongly. Now private equity is not keeping up now, and real estate is still there's unknowns about that. So there's a lot of noise. We call that noise, I guess, in our investment world. There's just things that you have to understand, and they're nuances. But I think from a big picture, when you take out the short-term movements, I mean, even the 1-3 year events that have been going on and focus, we don't see anything broken. And when you look at 5-10 years, we're still a top performing fund, which tells us we don't think anything's broken. We don't think, we think things are going well, and no reason to change anything we're doing, just based on these 6 month and 12 month numbers. You'll see later on in the package there's quite a lot of there's more travel requests, trading requests than usual. We try to fit in a couple months of those since there's no August meeting, but again, it's just a reflection of the investment team. We're really trying to plan on second half this year, a lot of due diligence trips coming up and some relevant conferences. So you'll see we'd like to attend and keep up to with what's going on in the markets and in the industry. And we'll talk about at the September investment committee meeting the normal annual TE pacing study. So you'll get to hear, I expect Gary Robertson to be presenting that again. It's something we do every year, and we'll talk about, again, we'll do a deep dive into private equity at that time and talk about future pacing. You know, to wrap up again, I'll go back to cash flow the cash that's moved around. I don't want to sound like a broken record because really the theme of the last few months, you know, trying to implement the discount rate that was reaffirmed earlier this year and the new asset allocation that was approved in June just a month ago is a huge priority of ours. So without going through all the data that you see, the numbers on the sheet, I know you know what those mean. We've talked about them in recent board meetings. So I tried to find one thing that was maybe really interesting, what's going on year to date. So this is what I came up with. At the end of the year, at the end of 2022, we had this, the fund had $2.36 billion in stocks invested. We've taken out $410 million from stock managers in the first, really since the beginning of this year through yesterday, or we directed those withdrawals. We've taken that $410 million out of stocks and put $360 million of it into fixed income. You can think of maybe the remaining $50 million being used to pay for benefit payments. And even after doing that, we still estimate we have $2.32 billion in stocks as of yesterday. So basically what that means is stocks have done so well this year. We've been able to take $410 million out of stocks and still only see our stock allocation go down $40 million. The allocation was 43.2% of our fund at the end of last year. It's still 40.4% roughly as of yesterday, which is actually still a little overweight our new target. We're really taking advantage of this rally to, it's a lot more fun, obviously, to rebalance and to implement a new strategic asset allocation in a market where investments are, what you're selling is doing really well. So it's nice to see we really have the same amount invested in stocks now as we did at the beginning of the year. And we've been able to use the extra money to rebalance, so we made investments. On the flip side, fixed income, I mentioned we've added $360 million. We had just over $1 billion in fixed income at the beginning of the year. It was 19.5% of our funds. We now have just under $1.5 billion in fixed income. So that reflects a $425 million increase in fixed income investments of our fund, and it's now up to 25.9% of our fund assets, which puts us in a great position going forward. I mean, yields still remain high, slightly higher than what even Cowen assumed in their projections. Stocks, if they continue to stay elevated or continue to increase, my intention is to continue to use the opportunity to trim that stock allocation to get that fixed income allocation even closer to the new 29% target. We're still a little over 3% underweight that allocation. But at the same time, as we talked about in the last few meetings, we never try to move around hundreds of millions of dollars all at the same time. That's just, you need to be wary about making those big moves at the same time. So, and certainly kind of taking this cautious, measured approach since the end of March, early April, it's helped us because we've been able to balance, you know, riding this nice increase that the markets have given us, ride funds up over about 6.8%, as Eric said, while still reducing risk at the same time for the fund. So those were just the thoughts I wanted to share today. I'm happy to, again, offer the opportunity to ask any questions of Eric or me. Otherwise, that completes the report for today.
Thank you, David. Any comments or questions from board members or staff? All right, not hearing any. Thanks again, David and Eric. We will move on to item number 3, the Special Administration and Operations Committee reports, and that will be Ms. Sala. Good morning, Ms. Sala.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone. The Administration Operation Committee met last week for a special meeting on Tuesday, July 18th. We met primarily in order to accept the Baker Tilly's external audit for the 2022 financials. So today before us, we do have the acceptance of the audit, the approval of the annual comprehensive financial report, the ACFR, for the year ended December 31st, 2022, and then also the approval of the annual report that goes out to the members in their packet. So I think we are marked for closed session, but is Baker Tilly here today, Jerry, or are they not here, or Dan?
No, they're not here.
They're not here? Okay. So I don't think we need to go into closed session for any of these items.
I would agree.
So the committee does recommend to accept and approve the three items that I did just mention. So I guess, Dan, did you want to say anything or have any brief comments maybe before we go ahead and approve them?
Yeah, actually, I just have one little update for the annual report. Based on the comments made by the committee members, Jan was able to change the format of the annual report just so that it's much larger and easier to read for our retirees when we send it out in the mail. So the day will stay the same. It's just the, there it is. Thank you, Terry.
It's a little bigger, yeah.
So hopefully it'll be a little easier for our retirees to read when we put it in their August direct deposit notices.
Thank you, Dan, for continuous process improvement.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yep.
So I think we just need a motion to approve the following items. We have to do them separately, right, Jerry?
Yes, please.
Okay. I guess then we need a motion to accept the Baker Tilly 2022 financial audit.
I'll make that motion, Molly.
Thank you.
I'll second the motion.
That will second.
Thank you. And then we need a motion for the approval of the annual comprehensive financial report for the year ended December 31st, 2022.
Conrad
will
make that motion.
Okay, we'll say Conrad and then Bell. Thank you.
I can.
And then, go ahead.
This is Tom.
Yeah, go ahead.
Very nice work on that, Dan and Jan, on reformatting that. If you could, maybe in that newsletter, just make a mention that that report is what formerly used to be that trifold report that we're all so used to. Otherwise, people are going to start freaking out as to what this is.
Good point.
Yeah. They'll start calling us all. But it looks great. Thank you.
So, Mr. Klusman, then, would you make the motion to approve the annual report?
Definitely.
Okay, awesome. Thank you.
I'll need a second.
Thank you. Okay. And then our last agenda item that we discussed were the results and approvals of the proposals to RFP for internal audit services. This one is marked for closed session as well. I do think we probably do need to go into closed session briefly to mention what we talked about, right, Jerry?
Yes, I think so, if you name firms particularly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So I think we just need a motion to go into closed session then. I could make the motion.
Tom will second.
Okay, thank you.
And roll call, Ms. Ford?
Aye.
Mr. Helling?
Aye.
Ms. King?
Aye.
Mr. Klusman?
Aye.
Mr. Conrad?
Aye.
Mr. Kovac?
Aye.
Ms. Sawa?
Aye.
Mr. Bell?
Aye.
Quorum, and please say the time and I'll pause the recorder.
9:18.
Thanks. Go ahead.
Okay, we are now back in open session at 9:21. Can I have a motion to for the board to accept the committee's recommendation for the proposal on the RFP for internal audit services?
Personal motion.
Thank you.
100 seconds.
Thank you. Okay, so then the board has accepted the committee's recommendation to move forward as discussed in closed session. And that concludes my report, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Ms. Sawa. Moving on to item number 4, special meeting of the Legislative Committee of the Whole. Ms. Ford, good morning.
Oh, good morning. There was a special meeting of the Legislative Committee on Committee of the Whole on July 24th, 2023. It was held entirely in closed session. There will be a follow-up meeting on August 29th. That's my report.
Great, thank you, Ms. Ford. Any comments or questions from members or staff? All right, not hearing any. Move on to item number 5, new business, letter A, retirement death claims and refunds for June. Jerry?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. So in the packet is the normal monthly routine reports for retirement death claims and refunds, asking the board for approval of the payroll. And I'm happy to report we got the payroll out yesterday. So that's all pretty good news. If we could have a motion to approve it, it would be most helpful. Thank you.
Allen will make that motion.
Thank you, Tim. Do I have a second?
Ford, second.
Thank you. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any. Motion to approve payroll for June 2023 passing. Moving on to item 5, letter B, conference requests for July 2023 board meeting. We have quite a few requests here. We'll go through them quick for Mr. Sauer, Mr. Cortright, and Mr. Walters heading to Chicago for new real estate manager due diligence, the $75 per person. That is later this week. Also, Mr. Sauer, Mr. Cortright, for Apogeum Capital due diligence, that's in Richmond, Virginia. That's in later August, $1,000 per person. For next is Mr. Sober, Mr. Cortright, for the Baird Advisors 23rd Annual Institutional Investors Conference. That's in Kohler in September, $65 per person. Next is Mr. Sauer, Mr. Walters, Reams due diligence in Indianapolis in September, $750 per person. Next, Mr. Walters heading to Analyst Boot Camp in Chicago in September, and that's $150. Another request for Mr. Walters, Global ARC Conference in Boston, that's in October, $1,900. And finally, Mr. Silver heading to, how do you pronounce that? Apogeum?
Apogeum,
I think. Apogeum, thank you. 2023 Annual General Meeting, and that's Miami, for $1,500 in December. I would like to make a motion to approve all those conference requests. Do I have a second?
Ellen, a second.
Ken?
Thank you. Tim, any objections regarding these? Not hearing any objections, the motion for conference request for this July board meeting passes. Next, moving on to item 5, letter C, approval to suspend disability benefits for non-compliance with outside earnings limitation. Jerry?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Dan, are you, Dan has left the boardroom and probably back in his office. Are you in your office, Dan? Perhaps not.
Yes.
Did you, we have 14 retirees who were totally offset, Dan. Would you like to explain that process a little bit for everybody?
Yeah, so basically, can you hear me?
Go ahead, Dan, we're losing you.
Yep, so the way it works is people who are members who receive either an early retirement benefit or a disability benefit, prior to reaching the normal retirement age, required to submit their tax returns. And as part of that, if their earnings, if their actual earnings were over the amount that the original position that they were retired from, they would be required to have an offset for the following year. I haven't had the chance to see it as of this morning. Usually, once we get to this close, when people start seeing their benefits are going to get suspended, they usually get them in at the last minute. So the list will be a little smaller than what it is right now.
Right, and if they comply, then their suspended benefits will be restored.
Yes, yep.
Thank you, Dan.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Dan. Any comments or questions from board members or staff? Not hearing any. Need a motion to approve the suspension of disability benefits for non-compliance of members with outside earnings limitation.
Wasserman will motion.
Thank you, Tom. Do I have a second?
Conrad seconds.
Thank you. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any objections, motion to approve the suspension disability benefits for non-compliance of outside earnings limitations passes. Moving on to item 5, letter D, the approval of August resolution. Resolution states, whereas no regular meeting of the board will be held during the month of August 2023, therefore be it resolved by the Annuity and Pension Board that the secretary is authorized and directed to pay bills, retirement allowances, death claims, and refund of contributions, and take whatever action may be necessary to administer the system, including approval of disability reports of the medical council and medical panel application, and report such action to the board at the regular meeting on September 26, 2023. Denials will be held for action by the board at its next regular meeting. Do I have any comments or questions regarding this resolution? Not hearing any, do I have a motion to approve the August resolution?
I'm going to make that motion.
Thank you, Kim. Do I have a second?
Conrad seconds.
Thank you, Mr. Conrad. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any, the motion for the approval of August resolution will pass. Moving on to item E, item 5, letter E, requires us to go into closed session. Please be advised that the Annuity and Pension Board may vote to convene in closed session on the following item. Item 5, E, as provided in section 19.85, sub 1, sub C, for considering employment, promotion, compensation or performance, evaluation data of any public employee over which the governmental body has jurisdiction or exercises responsibility. The board may then vote to reconvene in open session following the closed session. Do I have a motion to go into closed?
Boston will motion.
Molly will second.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, Mr. Kovac. Any objections regarding, and then we'll go to a roll call.
Ms. Ford?
Aye.
Mr. Helling?
Aye.
Ms. King?
Aye.
Mr. Klusman?
Aye.
Mr. Conrad?
Aye.
Mr. Kovac?
Aye.
Ms. Sawa?
Aye.
Mr. Bell?
Aye. And the time is 9:32 a.m.
And the recorder is popped. I'll turn the recorder's on now, Mr. Bell. Go ahead.
Thank you. We have a motion before us to approve the discussion we had in closed session regarding the compensation of an analyst. Do I have a motion regarding?
Conrad moves approval.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
1 second.
Thank you, Ms. Ford. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any objections, the motion passes for the ERS investment staff compensation. Next is item 6, medical reports, letter A, all duty and ordinary disability applications and reexaminations for July. Go ahead, Jerry.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. This morning's reports are quite routine. The first report is from the medical panel, and we have two re-exams that are both recommended for approval. The second report is for the medical council approvals, And those are also, again, reexaminations, and they're all recommended for approval. So if we could have a motion to approve the recommendations of the panel and the council, or the council and the panel, that would be helpful.
Molly will make that motion.
Thank you, Molly. Do I have a second?
Kovac, second.
Thank you, Mr. Kovac. Any objections regarding? Not hearing any objections, the motion to approve medical reports for July 2023 passes.
Mr. Chair?
Next.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I was looking at the conference agenda, and I think last time I asked to be a last minute add, my schedule didn't allow. But I was looking at the September 11th in Kohler and wondered if I could be added to that in case my schedule does allow to go to that. And it looks like David and Thomas are already going. Is that a valuable conference for trustees?
You know, they have a couple of really good speakers at this one, an ex-Federal Reserve, maybe vice president, if I'm not mistaken, or the New York Fed. So I think that'll be very topical, and they have some senior bond portfolio managers that always have insight things about the bond market and interest rates. So it's just a morning, so I think it's, yeah, I've always found it a worthwhile use of half of a day. You're welcome to join us, obviously, if we can coordinate travel,
okay,
if we're able to make it work. So.
Mr. Chair, this is Molly. That's all right. I've attended this once before with both Jerry and former Mark Nicolini, and I thought it was very informative, and if it's possible, I'd like to also join for that day, our day conference at Kohler on September 11th, along with Mr. Nicolini, David Thomas.
Sounds good. Any objections regarding that? All right, not hearing any objections, like to be added to the conference request for July 2023. Moving on to the next item six, letter B, disability findings for Benjamin Lara will require us to go into closed session. Please be advised that the Annuity and Pension Board may vote to convene in closed session on the following item. 6 letter B is provided in section 19.85 sub 1 sub of Wisconsin State Statutes for considering financial, medical, social, or personal histories or disciplinary data of specific persons, preliminary consideration of specific personnel problems, or the investigation of charges against specific persons, except where paragraph B applies, which, if discussed in public, would be likely to have a substantial adverse effect upon the reputation of any person referred to in such histories or data or involved in such problems or investigations. Do I have a motion to go into closed?
This is Aicha. I'll make the motion.
Conrad Sella.
Do I have a second?
Conrad, second.
Mr. Conrad, do it. Thank you, Mr. Conrad. Do I have a roll call, please, Jim?
Yes, Ms. Ford?
Aye.
Mr. Helling?
Aye.
Ms. King?
Aye.
Mr. Klusman?
Aye.
Mr. Conrad?
Aye.
Mr. Kovac?
Aye.
Ms. Sala?
Aye.
Mr. Bell?
Aye. And the time is 9:51 a.m.
Thank you.
10:28 a.m.
I will drop off now, if that's okay with everybody.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you for all your help.
Thank you.
And Terry, if you just want to let me know when we're back and open.
We are back and open. I think Bad dropped off, so I did text him to join back in.
Yeah, right. He's going to give the legal opinions, yeah.
Thank you. So this is back in open session. This is regarding item 6, letter B, regarding the disability findings of Mr. Lara. This item will be placed on hold and reconsidered at our August 29th scheduled meeting. Moving on to item number 7, unfinished business. Letter A, pending legal opinions and service request reports. Mr. McClain?
He is not back yet.
I can take care of, there's really nothing to report here. Opinion that was requested for the optional joint and survivor benefits is pending. Mr. McClain has been tied up tremendously with the follow-up from the adoption of Act 12, and we're hoping to get an opinion sometime this fall on this issue. Our plan is to basically publicize these factors and for the benefit of the members, and they would go into effect on January 1st after we get the opinion, and you know, assuming the board, of course, approves it by the 1st of January. But that's really the schedule for this, given all the Act 12 work that the city attorney's office has had to deal with. And then on service requests, there's really nothing further to report here. Well, there's one item on part 3, internal audit services. We did talk about the RFP scoring results today, and there was a motion and an action by the board to proceed with the recommendations of the A&O committee. And that's really all we have to report on pending service requests. On the legislation report, there's really nothing to report this month on state legislation. Part 4 deals with Wisconsin Act 12, but we had extensive discussions about that yesterday at the special legislative committee meeting, so there's nothing further to talk about there at this point. There will be a new meeting, as we know, on the 29th of August to delve into that issue further. And that would pretty much cover the legal reports, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Jerry. Any comments or questions from board members or staff regarding unfinished business, letter A or B? Not hearing any, we will move on to item C. Jerry, would you like to go into closed session for this?
No, it's not necessary.
Okay, go ahead then for the executive director's report, inventory of ERS project.
Okay, so the personnel update, we're working with DER to fill a position for a management accounting senior that was opened as a result of a promotion. And in a late item that is occurring before, after, rather occurring after the report was written, there's a Civil Service Commission meeting today to approve several reclassifications and market studies for some of the ERS staff in the clerical and other areas. And I want to give special recognition to Melody Johnson and also to Daniel Gopalin for doing a great job in moving these items forward with DER. Some of the things we talked about last month about the several people that were lagging behind in terms of getting their market reviews have now, since that time, have been resolved. I had an opportunity to meet with the head of DER, and Melody and Daniel particularly have been diligent and persistent over the months in pursuing this with DER, so I'm very happy to tell everybody that the Civil Service Commission is going to meet this afternoon. We're hopeful for a favorable result. Usually they adopt the recommendations of DER. And so DR is recommending increases in pay for several of our staff members based on their market studies and on their reclassifications. So thank you very much, Melody and Daniel. On member services, we have 43 retirements in June, and we're expecting 58 this month. I want to talk a little bit about the payroll yesterday in a minute, but just wanted to reflect that. Dropping down to, I should recognize Mike Juke also for, you know, conducting the retirement workshops on the 9th of June, and we had 74 people attend, which is pretty good for General City group of people. And we're going to have new police and fire recruit classes beginning in August, and we will be present there to sign up new recruits for both pension and life insurance, and And of course, there'll be a new police aid class as well, beginning this month, actually today, I'm sorry, yesterday, where we will where we were present to sign up the aides for life insurance. And this is a very important part of their onboarding to make sure everybody gets involved with our the city's excellent security benefits program. Dropping down to financial services, as we all discussed today, the audits have been completed and were adopted by the board along with the financial statements and with the report to the members and beneficiaries, the 85th CES report, in fact. We also sent out letters to all the agencies. We call them the true-up letters. These are letters that go out. These are bills, in essence, telling them to pay the remainder of any contributions that are due and payable before the end of January from the city agencies. And they're, you know, being processed as we speak. We talked about the outside earnings responders. There were 14. At the time this was written, there were 15, but we had one person that complied, so that's pretty good news for that person. And then, of course, we're working on the 5.8% pension offset for due disability members. And I wanted to mention this in regards to the payroll processing. We had a curveball this past week thrown at us. We had, as we've been mentioning for the last few months, we were processing these payments as a result of the court decision that granted the 5.8% pension contribution offset to all the duty disability members in the public safety realm. And we had included them in the payroll, and then at the last minute, the curveball was that the plaintiff's attorney obtained a court order to stay the payment of these benefits. And so we had to go in and undo them. And undo the payroll, which is a very arduous process. And I want to give a special recognition to our payroll department, Daniel Gopalin, especially to Terry Siddiqui, who once again made this possible. I think we would describe this as the payroll going out by the skin of its teeth, given this curveball that we got at the very, very last moment to, you know, completely redo the payroll. So thank you, Terry and Daniel and accounting and financial staff. Very much appreciate that. Hopefully we don't have any other near disasters like that. But that's what happens when we get last minute court orders, I guess. So that was good news. Skipping down to information services, everything is looking good, you know, with IT again. And there's a special item in here that I wanted to notice, and I don't know that Jeff is on the line. He's not. There is a follow-up report from Mullen Coughlin, which is the outside counsel for our fiduciary liability insurance vendor. We had a very interesting sort of war games that we conducted a while ago. And so this is a report on that. And it was really a tabletop exercise drill, contingency planning, if you will, for the purpose of responding to some possible future event if there was a data security breach. It's sort of an extensive report, and we sat in the boardroom and we went through this exercise as if we had had a security breach. And the folks from this law firm wrote it up. These are the results of how the staff performed and how our system performed in, as I mentioned, it's sort of like a war game. It's a drill, an exercise, and hopefully we never encounter this situation, but I was very happy with the outcome of it so far anyway. And I think it gave all of us pause to consider all the myriad of issues that would occur. And fortunately, since we have the cyber insurance, we do have people in the form of our insurance carriers, vendors, and law firm that are skilled and experienced in how to react, because there's no time to think through all the issues. You have to react usually within 24 to 48 hours. So this, I think, was a fairly useful exercise, and we'll continue to do this on a routine basis. So it's worth taking a look at, because I know we're all concerned about cybersecurity. The threat level is continuing to increase literally daily for, you know, the potential cyber breaches. The last item had to do with Act 12, but we've all been immersed in that discussion in the last 24 hours, so I won't belabor that any further. There'll be further discussion, as I mentioned earlier, at the end of August. So thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. That's my report.
Thank you, Jerry. Any comments or questions regarding the unfinished business? Letter C, Executive Director report. Not hearing any. Prior to wrapping up this meeting with item 8, I meant to do this at the beginning of the meeting, but I wanted to just point out that 5 years ago to the day, police officer Michael Mahalski was shot and killed in the line of duty. I just want to remind everybody of
5 years.
The incredible amount of him being a part of the plan and the pension and all the other employees across the city that are putting their lives on the line daily, and that was 5 years ago today. So. Finally, item 8, informational. We have item A through H. They are all informational and placed on file if there's no comments or questions regarding. Not hearing any, I will take a motion to conclude this meeting today.
Well, thank you, Matt, and thank you for reminding us of the tragic death of the police officer. We appreciate that.
Thank you, Mr. Conrad. And do I have a second?
Molly will second.
Thank you, Ms. King, and everyone have a good day. The meeting is concluded at 10:40 a.m. Thank you.